This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Victorian, Art Deco, Federal, German Gothic, Cincinnati's downtown and surrounding neighborhoods are home to a variety of architectural styles. Joining me are Architectural Foundation and Cincinnati Education Director Katrina Coleshorn and UC College of Engineering and Applied Science Professor Eric Englert to talk about learning to identify and appreciate different types of architectural designs and what exactly makes up good architecture. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And, you know, Eric, when I was looking through the list of different architectural styles in Cincinnati, I was amazed at how many there are. I think I counted about 18 on the list. How did Cincinnati become so diverse when it comes to all these different styles?
Cincinnati has had a very long history for a Midwestern town like this. It was, I think, at one time called the Paris of the Midwest. These styles are reflective of all the historical periods that we've gone through since our very beginning. And each period has something to do with what's going on in the world of architecture, but also what's going on here locally. And so you'll see a lot of Greek Revival, for instance. That was an important period in our history. Everybody knows Victorian, it seems like, but some of the other styles seem to be confusing, and I can help today with that from a professional's point of view. If you really want to get a great understanding of it, then you'll probably want to get a book or take a class with some of my colleagues who teach history. But in the case of just appreciating architecture, it's a good place to start with styles.
Katrina, is it typical for a city like Cincinnati to have this much architectural diversity?
I think so, because, you know, each time the architectural styles evolve, they're always impacted and affected by growth, expansion, industry, and technology. So, you know, in the early stages of Cincinnati's development, you know, wood and lumber were a big component in building materials. Brick was also very prevalent because the soil that we have here in Cincinnati was really good for manufacturing bricks here, and so you'll see a lot of brick in our earlier days. Then as, you know, the Industrial Revolution occurred in the late 18th and early 19th century, you see steel start to come into play. And then with the railroads in the 1840s, you start to see stone and other granite and other types of materials that become implemented in houses and some of the buildings downtown, like City Hall, a Romanesque styles. So yes, you know, you will see a lot of different styles due to the amount of time that has, you know, evolved and allowed these styles to happen, and also people's interest in interest in change and wanting to be different and wanting to implement some of these things in their own homes.
Did the different immigrant populations influence the architectural styles in Cincinnati? Germans, Italians, Irish?
Absolutely. So in particular with a neighborhood like Over the Rhine, you're going to see what would be very familiar to a German European immigrant. They're bringing those styles along with them. They're bringing their craft and their knowledge of construction with them. And so we see these terrific collections of Victorian architecture, terrific collections of Italianate architecture. These are the things that they've brought with them. And we're very fortunate, I think, to have something like Over the Rhine and some of the other neighborhoods that we have.
So if I'm going through Over the Rhine, Eric, what is the prominent style that I'm seeing there, and what makes it that particular style?
Quite a lot of variety. Some of the older buildings, as I mentioned, will be kind of a Greek Revival. So these are going to be a lot simpler in their expression, I think, especially around the window openings. Then as you develop later, those buildings are becoming more Italianate, mm-hmm. more Victorian. And so you'll see, for instance, at 12th and Vine up there in what they call, I think, the gateway area now, it's got a very elaborate cornice with quite a lot of brackets. And I was drawing that building the other day for the project that we're working on. And it's unbelievable, really, how large those brackets are and how, at this point, It's a very colorful building, too. I would have to imagine that it's had lots of different kinds of paint on it. But, you know, it's really lovely stuff. It's the kind of thing, I think, that brings young people, like I once was, to architecture and ultimately is the thing that gets the public really interested in what we do.
Now, knowing that this topic was coming up today, you got me thinking about it when I was going through all the information you sent and the lists. And I was taking a walk yesterday, and I started looking at buildings, actually stopping and looking at them, and then snapping pictures and things. It got me thinking about all the different styles we have in the city. So I wanted to ask you about some of the things I was looking at. Crosley Square Building, for instance, I thought that was interesting. It looks like it has Greek columns on the front of it. So what style is that, and what makes it that?
Well, each of these questions is going to involve some amount of opinion making, but I think in that case, that is probably in the Art Deco to Art Moderne kind of range. It is – so you're talking – tell me about the – again, I'm not as familiar with the building that you're talking about, but
it's about a 2 to 3 story tall brick building, square in shape. But the thing that stood out the most to me were the columns that were on the front entrance. Oh, let's see here. I'm terrible. It's with locations. It's about 5 blocks south of here on Elm Street, I believe, that area. Ring a bell? No.
I'm going to have to defer because I think I was confusing it with the old where the Enquirer was. That's a much taller building at 8th and Broadway.
Well, talk about that building for
an example. In that case, that building is very much of that period of kind of heroic architecture, very much borrowing from the from that. Interest in what we, I guess, at that time would call Oriental cultures and that sort of borrowing those details and symbols to put on the buildings. It's a cool building.
Now you're talking about City Hall earlier. What style did you say that was?
So Katrina had mentioned that that's a Richardsonian Romanesque, I think. Samuel Hannaford is the architect of that. It's one of our best buildings. He's one of our best architects, and he has a lot of work all around town.
You know, when you get around to it, if someone wanted to spend a nice Saturday walking around downtown, looking at all the different buildings and architectural elements there are in Cincinnati, what would be your advice for preparing for that?
Well, you've gotten the bug now, Mark,
and
kind of the, you know, one of the curses of being an architect and a designer. You know, I would suggest for those who are interested, the City of Cincinnati's Planning and Building Department has a really great summary of all the major architectural styles in Cincinnati, ranging from the 1815 Federal all the way through Art Deco and mid-century modern, you know, 1940s and 50s. And that they have that on the web on their historic conservation page and major architectural styles list. And the nice thing about that is that it really – they have these images and drawings that really highlight what the major components of these styles are. And so it gives you a really quick overview and a great solid foundation for going out and understanding what all those styles are.
Yeah, and if you'd like to take a look at those links, they are on our website, wvxu.org, for the city site and for the other architectural sites as well. Federal style, what is that, Katrina? Kind of that square, tall kind of building look? Is that what it is?
It is. On the city website, they say federal houses are square or rectangular in plan, 2 to 3 stories high and constructed of brick or wood. Now, to my taste, that's not a very good description. Yeah, it sounds – well, actually, Federalist buildings are quite beautiful. And for me, some of the better, more inspiring pieces for a contemporary practitioner – but
because of their simplicity and form and the way that the windows are punched. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So any of your listeners familiar with a place like Shakertown in Pleasant Hill, that look there, which is very minimalist, is, I think, very much inspired by a Federalist architecture at that time. Another Federalist building or Federal-style building downtown is probably the Taft Museum, which people are familiar with. and also a very beautiful example of that.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And are there four or five buildings that you'd recommend people really take a look at? And what should they look for on those buildings in terms of design elements? If I'm just getting started off in this, I'm going to become a building watcher. What are the top four or five you would recommend to check out?
Okay, that's a great question. I'll answer it, but then I'll suggest another thing, which is that for me, as a contemporary practitioner, I'm really excited about the contemporary building at the corner of 6th and. I'm going to get this wrong.
So
Contemporary Art Center is a terrific example of where we are, maybe where we're going. That was that architect, Zaha Hadid's first building constructed in the States. It was an extremely important building in the United States, and it just happens to be in our city, which was really exciting when it opened. Another building which is sort of at the opposite end of the spectrum for me is the Cincinnati Union Terminal, a very distinctive form and shape, great history, and I still get excited about going in there and standing on one edge of the building and then sending my 13-year-old boy over to the other edge of the building. You can talk in a normal voice, and your speech will carry through the volume of that domed area. A third building, I really think you could talk about Over the Rhine as a collection of buildings, and anybody who wants to really get excited about architecture, I think walking around there is a great thing to do. I'm a big fan of 4th Street, and that's what I was actually going to suggest, is that a really fun thing to do is to pick a street, take your iPhone or your camera, and walk around and just snap what you like. And that's really the genesis of the site that we're trying to develop, a website for the Architectural Foundation called AFC Online. And the idea would be that over time, what I call architectural ambassadors are going to help us populate a site about architecture. And I don't want to presume to know what you think is good architecture. I'd like to know what you think is good architecture. And so we're creating a place where people can share, a community where people can share their ideas about form and about experience that they're having with Cincinnati architecture.
You mentioned Union Terminal, Erica. Is that Art Deco or modern?
It's definitely Art Deco.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree.
Yeah, it's okay. one of the more emblematic buildings of that period, and it's world famous.
Yeah, it definitely is very eye-catching. So there's a little bit of subjectivity that goes into how you evaluate each of these buildings and what they might be.
Just like with anything, I would have a lot of colleagues who would disagree with you on that statement. I think that for most people who study history and study architecture, there are very clear designations about what style is. But for most of us, sort of style is where the conversation starts. And I think form and experience is where we go to really enrich that conversation. And so I think, you know, anybody can talk about the form of a building, what they like about it. Anybody can share the experience that they had with it. Those are the things which really get a designer, an architectural designer, jazzed up. But style is definitely where we all start with the conversation.
Another eye-catching building, Crewe Tower. What?
Yeah, that was has always been one of my favorites because it just stood out as a beautiful example of Art Deco. And I was also going to mention Music Hall. And also, I always find myself drawn to all the parks that overlook the river and overlook parts of Cincinnati, because you get this view and understanding of the context and all the different styles that exist and the heights and, you know, how you experience those, you know, from afar and appreciating them versus when you're in the heart of the city and you're walking down the street or on the sidewalk or driving is another way. But, you know, just being able to breathe and take all of it in and then get up close and enjoy it is also really fascinating.
If I can also comment, one of the things that really attracts me about Cincinnati, I come from Indianapolis. We had nothing like this. And as far as I know, all the cities I've traveled to has nothing that comes close to the neighborhood culture that we have here in Cincinnati, and how each neighborhood has a very distinctive culture and style and architecture to it. I live in North Avondale. It has a very definitive architectural experience. You know, just walking around the neighborhood is extremely exciting for an architect. And it's just the place that I live. And I had nothing like that. I've seen nothing like it in other cities.
Is there one style that's most prominent in Cincinnati, Eric?
No. But there are some standouts. I've mentioned Greek Revival a couple times. That is a period in the early 1800s that reflects and correlates really well with a period of good wealth in the city. I think there was also a building boom that, you know, you see quite a lot of Art Deco buildings here. I think that's also very unique from a city perspective. Katrina talked about Crewe Tower. That was supposed to be a much more elaborately styled building. I don't remember exactly the dates, but for the purposes of discussion, it opens up just before the crash in 1929. And so a lot of the detail that was supposed to go onto that building didn't quite make it. It becomes a very restrained form now. We love it for that from a sort of a contemporary point of view, but it wasn't supposed to look like that at all. And you sort of, I think you get a sense for it when you go inside. If you have lunch at the Orchid, or it's extremely elaborate inside. So I think that's what it was supposed to be like outside too.
It speaks of a different time and place.
Absolutely.
To me.
Absolutely, yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Katrina, your opinion, is good architecture like good art? Be interested in hearing how both of you view that.
I would say yes, most definitely. You know, architecture has the ability to, when you are experiencing it, to have you feel something. It also enables you the ability and opportunity to engage with it, both visually, spatially, experientially. I remember when I had the opportunity to be in Italy and I went to see Carlo Scarpa's Brione Cemetery, and I just was so overwhelmed with emotion because of the way it was laid out and the materials. And, you know, good architecture does that for us and enables us to feel and incorporate and engage just the way good art does.
Eric, what's your take on it? You think it's good architecture and good art?
There are two ways of dealing with this from the perspective of a professional. So at each level, I think, especially when we're talking about style, we're definitely talking about art. We're talking about an appreciation that has to do with taste. But from architecture also serves other purposes. I mean, we're sitting in architecture now. We're educated in architecture. So there's an element of it which has to do with that experience of just getting on with it.
And functionality.
Yeah, functionality. Mm-hmm. So an architect, a designer, has a lot of different masters that she or he serves. And these things are balanced. And I think when it all works, when they all work together, that's when great architecture happens. When you're only getting a piece of that, then it may be art. It may be a fully functional building, but I think you have to have all three of those components.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Jay and Over the Rhine. Good afternoon, Jay.
Good afternoon.
What's your question?
Well, I'm curious. Longtime Cincinnati resident, huge fan of what we have to offer from a historical and architectural perspective, but I recently started working for a cultural resource management company and have been blown away and fascinated by the concept of preservation along with architecture. And I'm curious as to your guest, how important is preservation to what they do and what they find?
Okay, thank you very much for the question.
I'd like to answer that. When I was in practice before teaching, we did a historical renovation of a Greek Revival building in Newport, just across the way. And that, at the time, was a very significant part of my thinking and still is the importance of historical renovation and preservation of what we have. We have three great organizations in Cincinnati which sort of cover the full spectrum of Cincinnati architecture, and Cincinnati Preservation Association being one of those is a great group of people that we work with both at the Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati as sort of sister organizations, but also I've worked with personally and find their mission to be extremely important. Architectural Institute of America's Cincinnati chapter, that's sort of the third sister of the three that I'm talking about. And where they are working with professionals, you would probably get a very different perspective from them about preservation, because that's about contemporary construction, contemporary architecture. But particularly in this town, you're almost always going to bump up as a designer against a preservation problem to solve. And there are so many ways to solve that, in my own opinion. Treating our historic architecture with respect is the best approach for a designer.
And Jay, I would just like to mention that, you know, there's the physical preservation of structures, and then there's another way to preserve buildings. And one of the ways we're doing that is through our Architecture by Children program, where we're exposing children to the historical legacy that Cincinnati has to offer. And we're teaming them with their teachers and local architects and design professionals here in the Cincinnati area to help them understand and grow and engage with their built environment. And so, you know, it's really exciting to see them come to life when they start to learn about their communities and they start walking them and they start looking at all the styles and understanding, you know, what they have at their disposal and how they play a key part in impacting their built environment.
Let's talk with Bob from Claremont County. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Oh, great. I just wanted to remark that I think the hills play a factor in making the buildings more interesting here, because in the 19th century, with mostly manual labor and horsepower, the buildings were built to fit the contour of the land, the hill. And that's why you have these buildings with basements that open up, you know, to the outside on hillsides, and why you had these flat iron buildings. I think we still have a number of flat iron buildings, like the one at Dorchester and Sycamore. And it just gives it a more interesting look, you know. Schwartz's Point is another building at McMicken and Vine Street down and over the Rhine. And these buildings are all like little wedges fit into the property. And also on Spring Grove, there are two buildings in the Camp Washington area that were built about 100 years ago to fit the curves in Spring Grove Avenue.
Yeah, those are great points, responding to the site and the orientation of the site. Those are really great observations.
I think so, too. It sounds like we have an architectural ambassador.
Very good. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate the comment. Let's talk with Michael in Clifton. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon. I always tell students and visitors that there's a couple places. One is to stand in front of next to City Hall, but in front of St. Peter and Chains, and look up at that steeple, and then turn around and look at the Weiss Temple. You have two very unique facades there. But the place that I send everyone is not so much for buildings, although there's a couple Hannafords. It's for detail. If you want to look at architectural detail, concentrated, Spring Grove Cemetery has more cornices, moldings, columns, anything you can think of in detail. And if you look at a monument like the Hooker, General Hooker's sarcophagus, which is a red and black granite up above on the first ridge above the lakes, it's all... It is one continuous series of moldings. I mean, there's nothing square on it. It's all moldings, and the place is just amazing. And you have 400 acres.
Absolutely, you know. Michael, I would agree, and I would also, to your comment, say that the Carnegie Libraries are also great for detail like that.
And let's talk to Richard. Richard in Clifton. Hi, Richard.
Hi, this is Richard, and I've been teaching at the University of Cincinnati in the German Studies Department for about 38 years. And I teach a standard undergraduate culture course on German culture, beginning, as I like to say, with Neanderthal man to Frederick the Great. And I find that architecture is the thing that the art that undergraduates can most easily understand, because they can feel themselves in the building or get a sense of it. And architecture, in that case, I'm always using as an indicator of cultural development. I don't focus so much on aesthetics, more on the feel. And I wonder what your commentators think about that kind of approach.
Okay, appreciate the question. Thank you very much, Richard.
I would respond to that and say that the experiential level is actually the most interesting for me. That's my entry point as a designer and as a liver in architectural buildings. And I find that, you know, all the focus on form, all the focus on theory and focus on style, that can be an interesting sort of filling out the whole question. But at its very root, how we feel inside of architecture, that's what gets me excited as a designer.
I would also add that it's, you know, it has a lot to do with the materials, the warmth of the materials, the colors, the tactile experience that we have with the architecture that we, you know, engage and come into contact with. I always find that, you know, really important as well.
Let's talk to Dan at UC. Hi, Dan.
Hi. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing quite well, thanks. Just curious as to whether either of your guests is familiar with the building on the southwest corner of 12th and Walnut. It's, I believe, a three-story building, and at the top of the building there's an alcove that has a statue of what I was told was the German goddess of war. And I understand that during the First World War, the city fathers had the spears cut out of her hand.
Interesting.
Professor Durbin, you stumped me.
Okay, well,
I'm going to have to go look at it now.
Me too. Now I'm curious.
Southwest corner of 12th and Walnut. So, yeah, take a look at that. It's right there in over the Rhine. And the story that I was told was that during the First World War, the city fathers went around the city and renamed all of the streets that had been given German names, but then they also climbed to the top of the building and cut the spears out of her hand.
Dan, thank you very much for the question and the comment. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Tom from Fort Mitchell. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I'll be quick, and I'll take your comments.
Yeah, because we're coming up to the end of this segment,
yeah,
so perfect.
I'm not a very creative person, so and I look at some buildings, and they seem functional, but they're kind of boring. So I get excited about that building over in Covington. I don't know the name, but it looks like a big twisted horn, and so I just, just their comments about activity and courage and boldness and making a statement. So I'll hang up.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom, that building's called The Ascent, I think. At least that's what they call it. And it's architect Daniel Liebeskind. And he is a very exciting architect to follow. I'm glad you like that building. It adds to our skyline.
It is amazing to look at. Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati Education Director Katrina Coleshorn and UC College of Engineering and Applied Science Professor Eric Englert. After the break, the art and history of Rookwood pottery. And in Focus on Technology, Ann Thompson tells us about plans for making solar panels cheaper and better. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.